Like Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. If you look at the population of Wisconsin and then the leadership in state government, you'll notice at least one significant disconnect. Milwaukee is, by far, the state's largest city, but the city itself has few residents in leadership roles, particularly in the state house.
Writer Joe Patente says it's a sign of the city's diminishing political clout at the statewide level. Patente writes about that phenomenon in the current issue of Milwaukee Magazine, and he stopped by to talk about it, starting with his working definition of clout.
I think political clout circa 2017 is just the ability to get anything done, which that's not changed from 1917, probably. And where I think Milwaukee is interesting is as a result of demographics, first and foremost, there are just fewer Milwaukeeans sitting in the state legislature than there were, you know, a decade or two ago. And then some political things compound that situation.
Well, and we'll get into that in just a second. But we should note that really we're talking about the city here versus the suburbs. This is not the Milwaukee area's political clout, because there are a lot of suburban politicians who seem to wield a lot of clout.
That's correct. And they tend to be Republicans, and city folks tend to be Democrats. And city issues tend to be more oriented toward the Democratic Party and its priorities. Something interesting that I unearthed here is that in 1977, the city of Milwaukee had 17 members sitting in the state assembly and 6 in the Senate. This year, it's 11 in the assembly and 4 in the Senate. So you just look at that erosion right there.
Would you say mid-70s maybe the heyday of the city's political influence on the state?
I think that may have sort of been the zenith. You know, at one time, Milwaukee was run by socialists, and that, I'm sure, elicited plenty of skepticism from elsewhere in the state. But by the 70s, it was mainstream to Democrats running the city here. You had Mayor Meyer here forever. And there were lots of Democrats in the legislature, and for a while there were Democrats in the governor's mansion too, including one from Milwaukee even for a while, which is an unheard of concept now.
Although, you know, the irony here is that the governor today is from Milwaukee County, but very much counter to the to what we would think of as a Milwaukee politician.
That's very true. I had a few sources who all wish to remain nameless say that the governor's not a Milwaukeean.
So between, say, 1977 and 2017, this is 40 years, which is, you know, a few generations here. But what have the catalysts been in reducing the clout to the state it's in today?
Well, people have moved out of Milwaukee. The city has shrunk, not tremendously, not as bad as many other larger cities, but the city of Milwaukee is simply a smaller piece of the state's pie in terms of population than it was at one time. At the same time, just over the last decade, we've had this sea change in state government where suddenly Republicans are running everything. And that happened maybe a little bit during the Tommy Thompson era, but not like this. So now you have a Republican in the governor's mansion. You have Republicans growing their majorities in the assembly and the Senate. And what's a Democrat from Milwaukee to do when it comes to getting an audience for his or her legislation?
Not only that, I gather redistricting has had a large role in this.
Redistricting has had a big role in this, and that'll be interesting to see now. That, of course, is subject to a legal challenge. We may see some new maps one of these days. But Republicans drew the maps in such a way to protect as many of their own seats as possible and to marginalize Democrats as much as possible. And you see that when you look at the maps and you look at who was representing the city in the 70s. There were lots of Democrats sort of on the edge of the city who may have been Milwaukeeans, but they had Oak Creek or West Allis in their districts. And now it's all been done such that those suburbs tend to be represented by Republicans.
So Milwaukee is not the only large city in the country with a reputation for being, you know, a drain on state resources. This is kind of a common trope in the rural-urban divide, this idea that people have that large cities, you know, money comes into a big city and never goes in the other direction. And Milwaukee, you write, has had that reputation today, but it's fighting that reputation. What's the case Milwaukee is making in that regard?
The mayor earlier this year launched what he called a charm offensive to go out to the rest of the state and say, hey, we're really not that bad. We contribute a lot to this state. And he's got some numbers that he's starting to throw around about what Milwaukee sends back to the state versus what it takes from the state. And it is a compelling case.
Give us a sense for what those numbers are. There's actually, I mean, this is a fairly substantial amount of money that Milwaukee generates in tax dollars for the rest of the state, right?
Sure. Milwaukee Milwaukee County really contributes about a sixth of all state taxes. That's income tax and sales tax. That's a big chunk out of the state's population. At the same time, shared revenue to the city, which is the city's primary form of help from Madison, has kind of flattened out and adjusted for inflation. The city's actually getting a third less annually than it got back in the late 80s.
So there's a chart that accompanies this piece running through some of the Milwaukeeans who do still maintain some degree of clout. Who are the names that rise to the top?
Sure. Senator Lena Taylor is in an interesting position. She's the only member of the Joint Finance Committee from Milwaukee right now. Joint Finance is sort of the 800-pound gorilla that sorts out the state budget every other year. They're doing that right now. That's kind of another one of those interesting things. You look back 30 years, sometimes there were three or four Milwaukeeans on that committee, and maybe one of them was co-chairing it or something, and now it's all Lena on her own. Of course, there's the mayor, who is a Democrat, well-known across the state, was a candidate for governor a few times, but a couple of sources suggested to me that his candidacies for governor did nothing really but marginalize Milwaukee. He's got a reputation now in Madison among Democrats even, but certainly among Republicans, as being kind of a loser. So how much of an audience can he get with Republicans to try to address the city's needs? That's difficult.
And you also write about Chris Larson.
Chris Larson, yes. He's Milwaukee's one brush with leadership in recent years. He was the minority leader in the Senate for a short time and then decided not to run for reelection to that post. He's run for some other offices, too. He's kind of Milwaukee's best hope right now, I think.
Well, and we should note that that not everyone in Milwaukee necessarily aligns themselves with Chris Larson or Lena Taylor or Mayor Barrett. I mean, there are some Republicans and more conservative voters in town. But what do the people you spoke with say needs to happen for Milwaukee to restore some of its political clout?
You know, one person I spoke with, an elected official who, again, wanted to remain nameless like most of the people I spoke with for this story, said it'll really come down to getting some majorities back. If Democrats get the Senate or the Assembly back at some point, it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon, but Democrats, of course, remain hopeful. That'll really be what'll turn Milwaukee around. Barring that, it's a tough road to hoe.
Joe Patente, thanks so much.
Thank you much.
Writer Joe Patente's article on Milwaukee's political clout appears in the March issue of Milwaukee Magazine.